It was the year 1830, and East Europe was flaming with war. A stagecoach coming from Warsaw, Poland, rattled towards Austria. Among the passengers was a frail, sad-looking young man, the Polish pianist Frédéric Chopin. He gazed grimly out of the window, anxious over the possible fate of his native country, his family, and his friends. The Russian armies were about to invade Warsaw, and for a long time, there would be no possibility to find out what had become of his dear ones and whether they were safe. Beset by grief and worry, how would he play his recitals in Vienna, which he had prepared with such high hopes? Frédéric remembered his last evening at home, when his friends had come to bid him farewell. Their parting gift was a silver goblet filled with Polish earth. "Keep this with you always," they had said to him, "so that the spirit of your homeland may be with you wherever you go." He would always be loyal to his beloved fatherland. Could he only fight for it? But his delicate health forbade military service. Chopin was not strong enough to make a good soldier. He would instead, through his art, bring the name of Poland before the world so that people everywhere might see the justice of her cause. And someday soon, please God, Poland would be free again. Chopin's childhood years had been very happy. He was born near Warsaw in 1810 as the son of a Polish mother and a French father. Both parents were fond of music. Nicholas played the violin and the flute, and his wife accompanied him on the piano. Little Frederick's favorite place was under the piano, where he sat for hours when his mother sang the beautiful Polish folk songs, or when Ludovica, the eldest daughter, had her piano lesson. So attentive was the child that Ludovica decided to pass on a little of her musical knowledge to him. She began to show Frederick how to play, and he learned everything at such an amazing speed that the 7-year-old teacher had to ask her mother for help. Soon the parents realized that Frederick's talent was unusual and should be developed by the best teachers available. Teacher by the name of Zwinny came to the house, first twice a week, then more often, and finally every day. The old pianist was fascinated by the little boy, who surmounted every difficulty with such ease and who could play any tune by ear after he had heard it once. Frederick was given an excellent musical education. He learned to understand and to love Bach, Mozart, and all the great classic composers. At the same time, his vivid imagination searched for melodies of his own. Often, when the lesson was done, the boy would play his little compositions which the proud teacher wrote down for him. Soon the stories about the child prodigy got around in Warsaw. Some people even thought he might become a second Mozart. Frederick was invited to the houses of some aristocratic families and enchanted everyone with his playing. A public performance was arranged for the young pianist. In 1818, at the age of 8, Master Chopin stepped out on the concert stage of a big hall which was filled with a glittering audience. He himself looked like a little prince in his black velvet suit with a big lace collar. The performance was a tremendous success. Shouts of joy and bravos sounded after each number. Never before had a child been heard to play with the dash and skill of a born virtuoso. Years went by, Frederick's old teacher felt that his pupil had outgrown him. He advised his parents to enroll him at the Warsaw Conservatory, an institute of great reputation. Now came years of even more intense studies for Frederick. He spent long hours at the piano, practicing diligently. But the growing boy became more and more interested in composition, guided by an understanding and competent teacher, Joseph Elsner. This great musician was well aware of Chopin's uncommon gift. Before he had reached the age of 15, some of his charming piano pieces were already published. Among them, a rondo and two mazurkas. The lively Polish dance rhythms appealed to Frederick very much. Later, he was to glorify them in many masterful compositions. Several months had passed, and Chopin was busily attending to his duties at the conservatory. He had made many friends among his classmates, gifted and promising music students, yet there was no doubt about his superiority. After the day's work, the young people often played their own compositions for each other, discussing them ardently until long after midnight. Into this happy life fell a terrible blow for Frederick. His favorite sister, Amelia, died of a lung disease, not yet 14 years old. Thank you. was so overcome by grief that the parents were worried about his health. He would sit for hours in the half-darkened music room, talking to nobody, softly playing new melodies to himself, quite different ones from those he had composed so far. They were of a sweet sadness, plaintive, and yet supremely beautiful. All of his heart sorrow was expressed in them. In 1829, five students of the Warsaw Conservatory set out on a journey to other centers of music outside their hometown. Chopin was among them. For him, the time had come to appear as a concert pianist in some foreign cities. After a few days of traveling, the party arrived at the Austrian border and reached the capital, Vienna. Frederick entered the city which had been the home of Mozart, Haydn, Beethoven, and Schubert. How excited he was! Some important people, to whom he had brought letters of introduction, were so impressed by the young man's playing that they urged him to give a recital. Soon it was all arranged. Chopin played two of his own works with orchestra, Variations and a Rondo. As an encore, he excelled in free improvisations on themes suggested by the public. The audience went wild with enthusiasm. Chopin had conquered Vienna on the first attempt. Chopin was again on his way to Vienna. leaving behind him war-torn Poland. Little did he foresee that he would never return to his beloved fatherland. In Vienna, full of high hopes and expectations. But this time, things were different. Other pianists had appeared in the city and won great fame. Managers remained cool towards the young Polish musician, despite his success of the year before. Chopin was depressed, lonely, and homesick. When he heard the news from Warsaw telling about the partition of Poland, he fell into deep despair. It was then that Chopin wrote his heroic, revolutionary etude, filled with a glowing spirit of rebellion against the oppressors. Chopin decided to leave Vienna, which had nothing further to offer him, and set out for Paris, there to make a name for himself. Culture delighted Chopin. At once, his gloomy mood changed. Just to look at the beautiful city on the Seine River was sheer joy. Here he knew renowned composers such as Liszt, Mendelssohn, Paganini, Berlioz, Rossini had their homes. The poets Victor Hugo, Balzac, and the German Heinrich Heine, and the famous painter Delacroix, they all lived in Paris. What a fascinating place! Become a member of their circle. His charm and refined manners opened for him many doors. His genius was admired everywhere. Franz Liszt, called the greatest pianist of the century, became his intimate friend. Liszt was then the titan of the keyboard, but Chopin could move the audiences to tears with the delicate and poetic playing of his famous nocturne. Thank you. were the most happy and fruitful years in Chopin's life. He created treasures of music, most of it for the piano. Sonatas, ballads, impromptus, nocturnes, polonaises, waltzes, mazurkas, and the incomparable etudes. Chopin was a perfectionist and wrote slowly, constantly polishing a phrase, changing a harmony, until even so brief a piece as the minute waltz required a good deal of work. As a pianist, Chopin was greatly admired for his graceful and brilliant technique. He became a teacher who could command a very high fee. Wealthy ladies of high rank begged to be accepted as his students. The elegant, romantic-looking young man with the sad eyes was now a welcome guest in the drawing rooms of the aristocracy. At one of these glittering parties, he met the woman who was destined to become his closest friend and his true love, George Sand. Dudevant had a brilliant mind and a great amount of energy. She was a successful writer and knew everybody who had won fame as an artist, musician, or intellectual. At first sight, she felt drawn to the young composer, who seemed so frail and, despite his success, so sad. Chopin had just recovered from a severe cold and high fever, which left his lungs weakened. George Sand started to look after him. When his health would not improve, she persuaded Frederick to go south with her. They chose the Spanish island of Mallorca, which was known for its sunny, mild climate. There, in restful seclusion, Chopin would certainly regain his strength. Sunshine where gardens with the most marvelous flowers reached down to the blue sea. Chopin began to feel much better. He had his piano shipped from Paris and spent long hours working on his preludes. Often, he went on sightseeing trips around the beautiful countryside. Unfortunately, on one of those excursions, Chopin got a chill and fell sick again. Several doctors were summoned, and they all agreed, sadly shaking their heads, that the patient was suffering from an incurable lung disease. He might recover for a while, but not for long. Day and night. Nobody had told Chopin the cruel truth, but he sensed it, and he fell into deep melancholy. To make things worse, the weather changed with the beginning of winter. Endless rains drummed on the roof, and dense fog covered the lovely garden. From a nearby monastery came the dull sound of bells ringing for a long time. Chopin shivered with a dark foreboding. He dragged himself to the piano and caught the mood of hopelessness in music. Out of his despair, he created one of the greatest masterpieces, his prelude in D flat major. Stand Mallorca. He thought of Paris, with its gaiety and brilliant lights, with its elegant boulevards where a happy crowd promenaded. He begged George Sand to return with him to the city. After a long journey, which greatly exhausted Chopin, the party arrived in Marseille. There he seemed to recover, and George Sand invited him to her chateau in the country near Paris. Now, surrounded by loving friends, enjoying every comfort of an elegant home, Chopin rallied amazingly. Some of his most superb works were written during these years. The sonata in B-flat minor with the funeral march, a ballad, a scherzo, several mazurkas, and the triumphant Polonaise in A major. This piece he dedicated to a future king in a free Poland. Thank you. By now, Chopin's fame had spread all over Europe. In Germany, the great composer Robert Schumann wrote in a musical magazine, "Hats off, gentlemen. Here comes a genius." Franz Liszt was not only a devoted friend, but also his greatest admirer. In his recital repertoire, he always included pieces by Chopin. When the master himself appeared on the concert stage, which was not very often, the house would be sold out weeks in advance. Life was again wonderful, till the time came when the relationship between Chopin and George Sand changed. The temperamental woman and the sickly, nervous man had some violent quarrels. In the end, they decided to part. For Chopin, this separation did not mean freedom. It meant a broken heart. Chopin tried to rearrange his life. He found out that his finances were in bad shape. Always generous and charitable, he had given great sums to Polish refugees and impoverished friends. Now he was faced with the necessity to earn money as quickly as possible, and he welcomed an invitation for a concert tour through England and Scotland. With amazing willpower, Chopin bore the strain of traveling, playing, and accepting countless social engagements. But in his letters to friends, Chopin complained about the damp climate and the fog in London to which he was unaccustomed. His strength was ebbing away. When Chopin returned to Paris in 1848, emaciated and feverish, he was a dying man. Ended on October 17, 1849, ended on foreign soil, but still faithful to his own country. In his last hours, he was surrounded by all of his closest friends. Near the bed stood the silver goblet he had received long ago. "When I am dead," he whispered, "scatter the good Polish earth over the grave, and I shall find rest in the soil of my native land." They did as he had wished, while Chopin's own funeral march was being played. Chopin is remembered as the poet of the piano. It was through the keyboard alone that he unlocked the magic of his dreams. His music is loved and played in every land, a universal language of beauty that knows no barriers of nation or country.